Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, wow, we're here.
Oh, wow, we are.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello, we're Pappies. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
I'm Matthew, and it's great to be here.
It's lovely to be where we are, in your ears.
Straight in your ears and in your week.
All snuggled and warm.
Yes.
Yes. So this.
We presume you're listening to us in your ears. Right?
How else would you imagine people would listen?
Who knows? In this day and age.
Absolutely.
There are many routes into the human body.
It's so hard to tell nowadays.
Yes.
I'm going to move the conversation on, if that's okay.
Yes,
Tom.
Please do.
So,
praise be.
Welcome, praise be indeed. Welcome to this episode of Pappy's House Meeting.
But Matthew, what is a Pappy's House Meeting?
That's a good point, actually, Matthew. What is one?
I'm not sure why he gestured to you when he asked what the question was. It confused me. He said, but Matthew gestured to Ben and then said, but what is a house meeting?
We're keeping you on our toes, listener dears.
You're keeping you on our toes and it's very painful. Please get off.
Guys, welcome to our toes and don't forget to have us in your ears. So basically,
yes,
a house meeting is, well, we unfortunately don't get to see each other as often as we would like.
No.
So this is our way of catching up, of chewing the fat,
yes,
of just finding out where everybody is emotionally, mm-hmm, spiritually, mm, and geographically.
Absolutely right. We're going to be solving some of our burning issues. We're going to be talking about some of our wildest dreams. And we're going to be hoping for the best.
That was lovely, actually.
That actually is a better way than I could have put it. And I know, because I've just put it somewhere.
So, listener dear, we want you to imagine that we're sat around our kitchen table in our podcasting flat, eating a big plate of bangers and mash and putting the world to right.
Yeah, chatting away.
I hope you chat with us with your ears.
What?
Enjoy this.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
So I was chatting to my friend Adam the other day.
Oh, I?
Yeah.
And
Eve. Adam and Eve.
Oh, no. But what a... What an immediate shocker from Parry to come in.
Back with a bang.
He's back.
Back with a bang.
He's back already. I tell you what, I'm going to do another one because I was actually, this is genuinely true, I was hanging out with my friend Juliet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, Romeo.
Oh, he's not bad.
Yes, go on. Adam's there.
Adam's there.
Fig leaf and all.
Oh my good lord.
If I was called Adam, I'd walk around with a fig leaf all day long.
I mean, you basically do, and you're called Tom, so I don't know what the distinction would be there.
Yeah, it just means that at the moment it's just sans fig leaf, so it's more, yeah, more just cock and
sans
balls.
Fig leaf's a cool name for a band.
Sans fig leaf is not a bad name for a detective.
A French detective.
Are you telling me you I'm
sans fig leaf.
What's it called?
I am sans fig leaf.
Sans fig leaf.
Oh, Fagleaf. Welcome to the auditions for sans fig leaf.
Sans fig leaf.
Matthew, your name? Give us the reading. So sans.
You've never been to an audition, have you? Matthew, your name?
Give us the reading, please.
Let's just start with your name.
So, you remember the scene. Sans has just walked in. The body's on the floor. Okay. Sans is going to see the body. Let me just explain the scene first. It's very good you've arrived in character. He's good.
Right
down a bit too much. Okay, so, Sans has arrived into the room. He's found the body on the floor and he pronounces the cause of death. You remember the scene. So, off you go.
I should just say, I am Matthew's agent.
What?
I came in to just to check the room was all right.
Oh,
he's gonna,
so sorry.
He's going to go. I know. I'm
Sorry, Claude. Wow. Of course.
Bonsoir.
From Claude Talent Associates.
Claude Talent Associates, CTA.
It's very nice to meet you in person.
CTA.
Clauding his way to the top.
You sound very different on the phone.
Oh, that is. I've got to use one of those little voice changers.
Okay.
Because I make a lot of harassing calls.
Okay, thanks, Claude.
To vulnerable people.
Well, that's too much information, but it probably, probably makes you a very good agent.
Let me tell you now, it certainly does.
Okay, well, send in Matthew, please.
Hello.
Hello, Matthew.
Hi.
It's nice that your agent came with us.
Well, it was his pleasure. I got confused here.
There's wheels within wheels.
So anyway, basically, I'm not very good in auditions. Established. I panic. I did an audition the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I did an audition.
I love your audition stories.
The other day. And it was for a... I should really remember this because I did it. And so I went in for the audition, and the idea was it was for an advert.
Yeah.
And it was the guy looking at the kitchen being made really lovingly. So you're supposed to look really lovingly at this kitchen being made.
Great.
And at one point, you're supposed to lie across a counter.
It's one of those castings.
One of those, yeah. And you're not don't say any words. You lie across the counter. You sort of rub your hands in it. You've got this real relationship. And then it ends with you sort of doing the Titanic, putting your arms out, that kind of Titanic thing.
Yeah.
And firstly, they put a dressing gown on you. And I had all my clothes on, so I had a dressing gown on. I was just sweating buckets all the way through. And then when it got to the end of it and they said, okay, so put your arms out and do a big smile. I had so little moisture in my body that my lips were stuck to my teeth. So I looked like Hellraiser. At the end of it, I just kind of went, and I knew this was happening, but I didn't want to, because they're filming me, obviously, for this is my big break, and so I just sort of slowly put my tongue out of my mouth and licked my lips to loosen them up a little bit, and they just said, well done, that was great, see you later. And I was like, do you want me to do it again? No, it's fine. It's all right. And it's like, you know, that's not...
You know.
That's not the best version of me smiling.
No way.
I mean, it pretty much is.
I had a bad audition the other day.
No.
Where
sound like you.
From the start, messed it up. Where I walked in. and it was for... I knew everyone in the room, basically. I knew the producer, I knew the director, and I knew the guy whose sitcom it was.
Offer him the job.
I walked in.
If you know everyone in the room, offer him the job. You know what you can do.
Slightly awkward when you know everyone in the room.
Slightly awkward, but you can nail it.
Walked in, shook everyone's hands, and they said, you all right? Did you have a good journey? And I said, yeah, I walked. just came out my mouth. Yeah, I walked. And they said, you walked? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, where do you live? And I was like, I live in Wapping. And they were like, that's about 6-7 miles away. And I went, yeah. They said, why did you walk? And I was like, just felt like a stroll. And it was 11 in the morning. So I was like, that must have taken you a couple hours. And I was like, yeah. And so I just got trapped in this lie.
So they think you left at like 8:30.
Just to walk.
The walk.
Started sweating straight away. Like, I'm just lying now. I'm just lying about this journey. Because literally, it just fell out of my mouth. Yeah, I walked.
Why do we feel compelled to lie?
Oh.
And also, my thing was, once I've started the lie, why can't I just say, I'm so sorry, I didn't walk?
Oh, no. Those hindsight moments where you're like, it would have been so easy to have got out of this and just gone, you know what, guys, I didn't walk.
I'm
sorry, it just came out of my mouth. I meant from the station. I walked from the station.
Yeah, and you could have a nice laugh about that. The other thing about that is that, it's not even a hindsight moment, because you see the moment... You feel it when it's happening.
You're like,
I can tell them now that this is a lie, but your mouth is still going, yeah, 6 miles I walked this morning.
I walked.
I mean, you must have looked surprisingly fresh for a man who just walked 6 miles.
I want to show them how healthy I was. I've got a 6-mile walk in my locker. No probs. Where are these lines? Safe to say, I did not get the part.
It's always the sad end to these stories, isn't it?
It's always the sad end. I mean, they haven't actually messaged me back yet.
Still there.
It was a good couple of months ago now, but maybe that's what they're looking for. I mean... I can't imagine. Like, it couldn't have gone much worse short of getting a nosebleed. Like, it's one of the least convincing smiles I've ever seen.
I had an audition for a carpet company where I had to go in and there's this big square of carpet on the floor and you just have to dance on the carpet. And it's very similar to your work surface thing where they're like really kind of trying to involve the carpet in your dance and like you love the carpet. So I was doing not the caterpillar, but you know, like the worm where you push yourself along the ground. I was like, oh, that'd be hilarious. So I did that and just gave myself carpet burn. Carpet burn down the side of my face.
Down your face.
Down my face. And then... But got a good reaction in the room, and then they
this
made me do.
Let's go the extra yard.
Like, let's go again.
You spat on the top of your head. You had a bald patch after that. Slowly, kind of pumicing off bits of your body, weren't you? Who's
came
this
out
guy?
Very smooth.
Exactly. He's
was that for a razor?
Come apart. I started the dance again. And we'll go. Well, don't do the worm thing again.
Yeah, we don't. Need
and then
to
halfway
Voldemort.
Through the dance, thinking they did like the worm thing. So I did it again, but on the other side of my face. Came out with carpet burns on both sides of my face. Did
you
not
gave yourself go faster stripes.
like Raymond Briggs' Father Christmas. Lovely reference.
he's got two red cheeks.
That was really, he had like really ruddy cheeks, didn't he?
Yeah, but not bleeding.
I don't know. After that Las Vegas episode, you know the bit when he goes to Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
It is a good bit when he goes to Vegas, but I think you might be confusing it with other Vegas movies. Like Very Bad Things or whatever that movie was.
You're with your friend Adam.
So I'm with my friend Adam. Good memory, because we've gone quite a long way away from it.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Let's talk about it. Very rare that Parry's the one swinging the conversation back round to the topic.
To old Sans Fig Leaf.
So, Sans Fig Leaf. So, the thing, right, and he said he'd been away to Australia.
Oh yeah.
Been away on a trip, and he had done exactly what I'd done when I went away on a long trip, which was he'd hidden all of his valuables all around the house. And now he couldn't find any of them.
What?
So,
really?
Yeah, I went away to Australia and New Zealand a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I obviously, because I was backpacking, I didn't want to take my laptop or any of that. So what I did was I took my laptop. In fact, I've got a laptop and a little sort of tablet type thing. Ooh, hid those in two different places. Hid my wife's laptop in another place. And bear in mind, we're talking about like under the house. Kind of like I've got a little crawl space under the house, hid some stuff in there.
Oh, dear listeners, they're listening. They're going to be round.
It's a treasure trove, guys.
When you find out where Crosby lives, get under his house. That's where the gold is.
So
it's also where the mice are.
Very good point, actually. We could talk about the mice at another time. But yeah, so then I hid all the cables as well, separately, the chargers. Because I thought they're 90 quid a pop, aren't they?
That's true.
So I'm going to hide all those. Got back and couldn't find, couldn't find them. I couldn't find them. And I was saying to my friend Adam, I said, yeah, I'm still...
looking for...
A year, 18 months later, I'm still down a charger.
You don't know where it is.
I've got no clue where it is. It's somewhere in the house. Now, what I did was I sort of went under the house and hid them in, like, inside compartments of suitcases, ones I wasn't taking on holiday. So, like, you know, you wouldn't even think... You'd see a suitcase, empty suitcase, nothing in there, but you wouldn't unzip it and stuff.
Oh
so I went
God.
Through all of these things. I'd hidden one laptop wrapped up in an inflatable mattress, deflated.
Who's breaking into a house for chargers?
It's a very...
That's a low-level burglary, isn't
Tom,
it?
Tom, you've hit the nail on the head here. And also, as well, who is hiding chargers and not just making a little note in your phone going...
This is where it is. Or just a photo.
So anyway,
them all in your sock drawer. People look in sock drawers?
Tom, you're three steps ahead of me here.
Oh.
So anyway, I say this to Adam.
Yeah.
The next day, I go to my underwear drawer.
What?
And I say, I've got to clear out this underwear drawer. I've got pairs of pants I never wear anymore. Reach in the back, boom, pull it out.
Lo and behold.
Yeah, literally. So I pulled it out.
Hold on.
No, the charger, right, I should say. That I pulled out the charger.
Great day.
And it was a doubly good day. Whop my little knob out as well, just to celebrate.
You've got to celebrate. Find a charger, right?
Find a charger. Charlie, get in here. Look at these two things. So
one of them still works.
The other one's going on eBay.
House meeting. Is having subtitles on a foreign film cheating? House meeting.
Tom, now, that was a full start, but hopefully you won't have a full start when you run the marathon.
Yes, that's right. I'm running the marathon on April the 28th. Oh, gosh.
How are you feeling about it? Have you got the miles in your legs?
I've put some miles in my legs. Have I put enough miles in my legs? We'll find out on April the 28th.
But you're not just doing it for the shits and giggles of running, and it will be shits.
There will be a lot of
more
shits.
More shits than giggles, I'd say.
Yeah, I know.
I've seen marathon runners crossing the finishing line. But you're doing it for charity.
Yes, I'm doing it for this amazing charity called Fab Kids that help children with special needs to integrate into society. They run clubs and activities for them. It's a really great cause. So if you fancy supporting me, guys and listeners, dear,
I didn't realise we were implicated.
Oh, sorry, yes. Yeah, you're implicated as well.
We have to reach in our pockets a little
bit.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you, producer Emma, don't go skulking off. I can see you through the window. Can we? If you fancy supporting me,
I do.
Then you can go to justgiving.com/fundraising/Tom-Parry10. But we will also be sticking that out on our Twitter, Facebook,
Twitter, yeah.
And all of that. So if you fancy going to Just Giving and supporting me, it would be much appreciated. And if you fancy coming along and screaming from the side of the road, then that would also be much appreciated on April the 28th.
Well, I'll see you there.
Yeah, lovely. See you there.
Hope we you come first.
We should give listener dears something specific to shout at me as I run past so I know that you're a listener dear.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, that's
so,
good, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about go on, run?
Go on, run.
I mean, that's too generic.
Now I was going to say, in the crowd of
people shouting, yeah, go on, run.
Yeah.
How about you just shout gold?
Oh, gold, even gold, better. Gold.
Okay, that will spur me on to win this marathon.
Yes.
So,
if you see gold, Tom running, shout gold, gold, gold.
Gold, gold, gold. And I will tap my head and give you the secret signal as I run past.
You'll tap your head and give it that. Well, that's even better.
I won't have the energy.
I was going to say, don't add any.
He'll do a cartwheel as soon as you shout it.
Have you got the miles in your arms, Tom?
If you give me a big shout of gold, 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 that would be awesome. And if you help me raise lots of gold, 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 that will also be awesome.
Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, God, I'm so scared.
Good luck, Tom.
Thanks. House meeting.
How do they make bread with no wheat in? House
meeting. Do you think there's something in that, hiding things for yourself to find later on?
Like little treats?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the... because the other thing is... I came home the other night and Charlie said, I gave Cosmo, our little cat, a prawn, which she didn't eat, but ran it somewhere around the house. And
so
I don't know where
hidden.
It is. So there is a little treat hidden by Cosmo in our house of a prawn, which is not really the sort of treat you want, hiding behind... So
no.
I've checked behind the sofa. I've checked in all the compartments of suitcases in case she's as diligent as I am.
She takes after her owner.
Exactly.
What you need to do is give your cat, like, in equal measure, like, nice things, nice smelling things.
Potpourri.
Like, a little bit of potpourri, and then she'll send them. It'll be like a game, almost. Like, mind sweeping around your flat.
That's a smarter move than what I did, which was give her another prawn and try and follow her.
Okay. But she knew she was being followed.
She knew she was being followed.
Put the prawn in a different place.
She put the prawn in a different location.
It's smart.
There wasn't a prawn next to the prawn she'd just put down.
Wow.
You don't put all your prawns in one place. It's the old saying.
It's the old saying, yeah.
It's the old saying. Don't put all your prawns in the same room.
Do you ever do that, though, with, like, your notes on your phone? I often find that's kind of the closest thing I do for when I'm really drunk, hiding a little treat for myself, is looking through my phone the next day and finding out notes that I'd no recollection of making.
I do that, and I never understand the note, because it's normally when I'm pissed.
Yes.
I remember coming up with a show where I literally was going to divide the audience down the middle, right?
Yeah.
Light two different halves. And at the start, you had to decide cat or dog, and I had in brackets, like bride or groom. What was I going to do for that Edinburgh show? Marry a cat and a dog.
We've got to do it.
We've
got to make this show.
Are we going to make it happen?
Cat or
so
dog,
I'm there greeting the
groom.
Audience as they're coming in, shaking their hands, and instead of saying bride or groom, I say cat or dog, and then I put them on either sides of the of the audience.
Yeah. Pet wedding.
Pet wedding.
Is that where we're ending up?
I think so. Pet wedding with Sons Figleaf.
Okay. Now I'm interested.
Now we're onto something.
Truly, it was the dog that killed the beast.
Well, he's killing someone at a wedding.
Sons Leaf's a detective, right?
Oh, he is a detective. That's true. But he also doubles up as a priest.
Do you want to go? Should we do a quick exercise now where you go to your phone and you have to read out a note that's on your phone?
Okay, yeah,
we
absolutely.
We have to try and see what it is.
Dear.
Is it the last note?
We'll be back in just a moment. House meeting.
The socks only useful for putting your feet in. House meeting.
I've got just written Guinness Book of World Records judge, right?
Yeah.
But that's because the other day I had to go around someone's house to do a bit of work and their housemate was in and he was just this guy sat in a dressing gown. Just like he had this kind of incredibly laid back nature about him. He was in like, I don't know, sandals, dressing gown.
Sure.
It's like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Was he Christ?
Well, he had this kind of like, he just had something
sort of
about him.
Beatific,
and I was like,
kind of
your housemate's a bit cool. And he said, ask me what his job is. He's a Guinness Book of World Records judge. That's his job. He travels round the continent.
So he's like the McGuirta twins, the McGuirta brothers.
That's his job.
Wow.
And so I was like, that is a good character. What a good character reference.
Yeah.
To have like, oh, you know, you're in a story, and this guy, what's your job? I'm a Guinness Book of World Records judge.
It's so outlandish, though. It does not seem like a real job.
I know.
Do you think...
What a job.
Do you think it actually was a real job? Do you think it genuinely was his thing?
I believe him. I believe him.
He's not just...
Someone's got to do it.
Someone has got to do it. You're right.
Yeah. But imagine that.
Like, I don't know, because I've been watching the assassination of Gianni Versace, and every time he meets a new person, the killer, he comes up with this like an outlandish job.
Oh, does it?
And I wonder if maybe you might have actually met a murderer.
That is not a good way to keep your identity hidden, right? Because you're gonna come unstuck at some point by being like,
he also tells people his full name quite a lot as well. He's not, I mean, I'm only 4 or 5 episodes in, but I get the feeling, well, also because it's from the news and I remember reading it at the time.
He's not a good egg,
and also he's going to get caught.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if they had never caught him and they didn't know who it was, the chance of having a TV show made about him, pretty slim.
Yeah, very true, very
true.
But
I do like that as a job. Although you must see so much, I was going to say sadness, but that's not, like, disappointment in the job of the Guinness World Record guy.
That's
because so many people just not quite doing it, who've worked so hard, or people who have lost on a technicality, you know, just like a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, you've got to have, you know, you can't have both your hands on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
In order to push this peanut with your nose. You've got to only have one hand at any one time on the ground.
What?
You know, pushing, yeah.
One hand?
Did I not tell you that?
Jesus Christ, I've had six months of training now.
Well, you say that when you go into auditions. How'd you get here? Well, I was pushing a peanut.
I've got this peanut all the way here. Two hands on the ground.
Clarkie, have you got one?
Well, yeah, I do. I'd written Barber's Tap.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
Sounds like a pint of real ale.
Well...
Or, because there's barbershop singers throwing a bit of dancing as well. Barber's Tap. Is that what have you got a sort of a Bob Fosse style? Okay, sorry.
Well,
I saw someone I knew.
Wow. He's not happy about that.
I tell you what, those improv classes are paying off.
Oh, bloody.
Talk about yes anding.
Yeah, well, we.
Pick it up and run with it. Not for me, thank you.
A tap quartet. I was with you there. And in fact, just to follow up on the tap quartet, just to yes and you here.
Jesus.
Everyone's got different sized feet so that their tapping makes a different noise, right? So you've got a guy with size 12s.
Is that...
A duck, a duck, a duck, a duck, a duck. Here comes the little fella. A tick, 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 tick.
Oh, I see. So you've got like a kind of bass baritone tap.
You've got
person.
A guy with 12, size 12 feet. Clarky is furious.
I'll tell you what's good about this as well.
Get on board with this, mate. We'll get round to your
barber's tap.
The
guy with the size 12s, very high voice.
That's the great
that's the trick.
A duck, a duck, a duck, a duck. I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time.
I'm having a good time. Thanks very much.
In comes the little fella. Yo, he's great. Yo, he's great.
I like a barbershop quartet where one guy say what a good time he's having and the other guy just bigging him up.
It's a very positive endeavour.
You've got to do it.
So they're a tap quartet. That's a great idea, Clarkie. Well done for making that note. Anyway,
thanks,
Crosby, what's yours?
Oh, I've got this one here. No, sorry. You've got your...
No, this is what... So I saw someone the other day I knew who just had a haircut and I was like... Barber's Tap, No Returns. And he was like, what? I was like, you know, Barber's Tap, No Returns. When someone gets a haircut and you tap them on the head.
And what would the returns be?
And you say, no, Barber's Tap, No Returns.
Producer Emma's shaking her head.
She's not heard of it.
I'm shaking my head.
Well, this is the...
No one's heard of Barber's Tap.
We used to do it in our house growing up. So I think it's just one of those things that my parents were just like, let's just do this.
Did you all?
And I thought that was a thing that everyone did when someone gets a haircut.
Did you do it at
school?
You
do Barber's Tap? Nope.
Why did you only do it at home and now you're suddenly bringing it out into the...
I don't know. That I haven't thought about it for years.
But as a kid, you didn't go into school and when someone had a haircut, you give them a Barber's Tap.
I was trying to remember if I tried and failed at that point. And I think probably if I was a kid and I'd have done it to someone at school, I would have been able to have just gone like, oh... You're wrong for not
knowing
what this
cool new
thing
we're doing.
It's similar in our house. We used to do punch punch 7th of the month, where at the end of the first week of the month, my dad would just like really go at us.
Oh my god, that's cheap as crazy.
Yeah, it started bleak and it ended bleak.
Punch punch 7th of the month. Oh yeah,
it's too strong.
It's a strong brew.
It's a strong. It's a real barber's tap. It's a real barber's tap. So are you going to try and bring it back in?
Well, I don't think it's a thing to bring back. I think gonna, it's a conversation I'm going to have with my parents.
The question is, what would the returns be?
I don't know.
So no returns.
You'd be able to go barber's tap back.
You can't then take them off to get a haircut. It's not like, you know.
No, and it was like, it's just. I don't know.
Customers kick?
Well, it's not the barber doing the tap, though, is it?
Barber's tap, customers kick?
Tom, I think your ideas are incredibly violent, and I do back you on that, but...
It starts with a tap.
Ends with a slap.
Oh. Amen, brother.
This is too much. I don't like the idea of this. So, the...
Shaver's
the other,
rub?
The other... Shaver's rub is a different thing, mate.
Cheaper's creepers.
Didn't you and your family all go for a haircut at kind of approximately the same time? Because I think when
the family trip.
I think we all went for a haircut.
No, we didn't, actually.
So you all went... So you were all taken, presumably you were taken by your parents. You weren't just rocking up to the hairdressers on your own.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because
let's get to the bottom of this barber's tap. What's really going on with your family?
I don't know.
Jesus. Why are they just letting you roam the streets, getting haircuts willy-nilly, exactly. Why are they just letting you roam the streets, having haircuts whenever you goddamn well please?
No, my parents would have taken us to the barber's.
And so what, they're making multiple trips. There's four in your family,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's four different separate trips.
Yeah. It's madness,
if you've got this, we've got the same situation in my family: three boys, one girl. Yeah. All three boys would go at the same time, and then, of course, when they opened the salon above for the ladies, then it was one trip for all four of us. I mean, it's a wibbly wobbly world you're living in, Clarkie.
Maybe we did.
Going to the hairdressers was traumatic, right? When you were a kid,
hated it.
Oh, I still hate it.
Hated it.
It's why I rarely get a haircut. I try and keep haircuts to a minimum.
Well, no, you want to avoid the barber's tap.
The curse of the barber's tap. Don't wash. The other thing, though, is because I'm sort of keeping my hair long-ish at the moment, but when they cut your hair from long, I've basically now got my wife says I look like a woman called Gloria. You know, I've got a kind of like a you know, a sort of librarian's bob going on here, not to be confused with barber's tap. So it's very tricky. So, and I always had long hair when I was a kid. I just liked having long hair.
Yeah,
you know,
it suits you.
Thank you very much. I enjoy having
we were
it.
A long time saying that. But it does suit you.
I've said I like your hair long.
I like your hair as well.
Thanks, man.
You're listening to the Appreciation Society.
Yes.
I like your hair.
He has got a lovely haircut.
You're very good.
Barber's tap. Oh, mate. Oh, you.
Ouch.
That was so good there because I couldn't tell if you'd actually hurt your hand or whether that was just the acting.
Acting, you see.
And
you
scene. Thank you. That was a lovely audition. I walked here.
House meeting. Goat impressions. Let's hear your bleating.
House meeting.
Listener dear, if you're enjoying the podcast that we're putting out, then please feel free to support us at patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. We can't afford to do this without your support. It would be great if you could get on board. And at each tier, you get loads of different extras and bonus stuff. Let's go through them, shall we?
Okay, so for $2 a month, you get the nod and the wink, which means you get a mention on the show, you get your beef as a priority, so we're going to solve your beef on Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, and you also get access to pre-sale tickets for any of our live shows.
Yes, and for $5 you get the secret handshake, which is all of what Matthew just said, plus you get the jingle as a single, the Flat Slam monthly jingle, and you also get a load of extra bonus footage.
For $10 you get the solid dangle. I don't know if you get the solid dangle or you offer us the solid dangle. I don't know how that works.
Well, either way, a solid dangle is in play.
I mean, a solid dangle cannot be sniffed at. So you get
you
get all of that stuff. Plus, you get an exclusive post-match interview with our Slam Dunk guests. You get some badges and some stickers. And also, we're going to be recording a drunk episode quarterly. So you get access to the drunk episode. Flat share pissed up.
We decided to do it quarterly to correspond with when we do our VAT receipts.
Okay, it's good.
There's also the Copper Bottoms winner. Now, this is huge. This is for $25 a month. Now, for this, you get an exclusive Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown t-shirt.
Whoa!
You get a birthday message custom made by us to you. And you also get all of the above that you get from all the other tiers.
Holy moly. Well, look, if you want to become a neighbour of the show and join us a patron, that would be much appreciated. Cheers, listener.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
House meeting.
It's at Pappy's Tweet if you fancy tweeting.
House meeting.
What have you got in your notes, MC Crossbow?
Let me tell you now, this is torn from the pages of real life.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I went to the bathroom at Charing Cross Station.
Oh yeah.
Free now. Never used to be free.
Finally.
Free as a bird.
My petition's been heard.
And I put down, this actually really happened, and then I put down a little conversation with myself. There was a bit of shit smeared across both the sad face and the medium face in the how did we do? So I had to press the happy face. And then I've written after this, why did I not just not vote? Which would have been a better system. But there was fecal matter smeared across the sad face and the medium face.
Oh my God.
And so it's forcing people into saying it's a clean toilet.
But you think
demonstrably isn't a clean toilet?
Do you think the cleaner has done that?
I don't think so. I don't think the cleaner.
I mean, it's a good tactic.
It is. Not bad.
Not a bad tactic.
If I were a cleaner, that's what I would do.
But I should then have at least gone back and washed my hands after that. Because, if you're pressing a button that's next to a button that's covered in shit.
But think about it. If your hand's covered in shit, you're not going to vote that you had a good time on the toilet, are you? So you're going to vote for a bad time. Yeah. And then the second person's going to come out. He's got shit on his hand. He wants to vote for a bad time, but he can't. He's not going to vote for a good time, so he's going to go for the medium.
Oh, yeah.
The third person to come along.
We haven't actually asked you, did you have shit on your hand at this time?
No.
I
had clean hands. Clean hands, clean hearts. And I just I just felt compelled to vote because, the problem is it's people who don't vote.
You've got to use your vote.
Got us in this situation in the first place.
You've got to use your vote.
You know, you can't not vote and then be angry at the system.
That's it.
Or the system. System.
Yeah, thank you.
It was a race for the prize.
So you were having a drink with your friend Adam. Oh, we've
done that. Yeah. Tom.
Back we go.
Tom, I was so impressed last time I did it.
Take a rest.
I was so impressed.
That's happened.
I just found another note in my phone that I've got no idea what this means.
Okay,
let's decipher it for you. Okay. We're here for you.
On the 10th of October, I left a note that says, you've got to go out to stay in.
Oh, it sounds like the sort of thing that Carrie from Sex and the City would be saying.
You've got
that got
to
me
go
thinking,
out.
Do we have to go out to stay in?
Stay in. Also, this is at 8 o'clock in the evening, so this is
so you were staying
this is
in
too early for a.
You're not hammered here at this instance, so
I should hope not.
Are you trying to remember the lyrics to
the New Radicals?
Or I was thinking of Fast Love by Fast Love by George Michael.
I was singing that only yesterday.
Were you really?
It's great, great song.
Was it? Tom, I'd like to believe you to say you were singing that only yesterday, but it feels like another one of your lies, like you walked here.
In fact, now that I'm thinking about it, I think it was Let's Go Outside.
Let's go outside.
Let's stay in.
We don't have the rights to it, guys. We do not have the rights.
Oh.
I'm afraid we do not have the rights.
Because I was singing the line,
sometimes to go out, yeah, you've got to stay in. Let's go outside.
Does that work for you?
Is that the...
yeah.
What are you saying here? You've got to go out to stay in.
I have no idea.
Does it mean you've had to have been out the house to be like, oh, I'm going to stay in tonight?
Oh,
is that what it means? You've got to have been outside to go like, oh, let's stay in tonight.
Yeah, maybe that makes sense.
But I don't think it holds up because you can be in the house and go,
let's stay in.
Yeah.
But then is that not going out? Is that what you're getting at?
Because I had a little thing a while ago of being like, because when you want a night in and you want to cry off something that's going on,
yeah.
I tried to make a new rule a little while back of going, just go out for one or whatever.
Yes.
So you've shown your face and all the rest of it. And then normally by the time you've made a bit of an effort, you're like, oh, now I'll make the whole effort kind of thing.
Yeah, but then
now I'm here, I'm having a good time.
So
Whereas the idea of staying in when... Because quite often you go like, if there's something going on a Saturday night and you're like, oh, I want a night in. And then halfway through your night in, you're like, should have gone out. Whereas if you do it the other way around, you go out for a bit, you can go home, but you've also got, you go like, oh yeah.
So that's what you think it is. You think you've got to go out in order to realise that you're unhappy out.
Yeah.
And but then you're not staying in. You're going home.
Yeah. He's got you there.
Going home early, aren't you?
I mean, basically.
Should you delete this note?
I think keep the note, but don't get a tattoo of it. I think that's the way I'd.
Don't live by it. What did you think it was going to
mean? Yeah, what did you think?
If I was to analyse this, like it were your dreams, I think you've got to a certain age where actually you're more about the staying in. You're sort of going, well, my 20s are over.
Quite considerably.
I'm ready now. I've gone out and now I'm ready to stay in. Because if you never went out in the first place, if you never had that wild time, then it wouldn't be staying in. Yeah. It would just be being in, because that's what you always are. Yeah. You're always in. So basically, you're now saying, I'm drawing a line under my wild, hedonistic days.
Yeah.
I'm ready to, you know, watch a box set, to, you know, sit.
Could be that.
Sit at home, have the, you know, TV dinner on my lap.
Yeah. The glory days are over.
The glory days are over. You're getting older. And it happens to all of us.
Well, hang on. I've got a note in my diary.
What's that?
You've got to go out to fucking go out, because I'm still a fucking legend.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
That's a relief.
You're locked out, aren't you? That's what it is.
Oh, hang on.
I didn't want to see my keys.
Where's my keys? Yeah. Oh, God.
Not a big fan of things that remind you that you are losing your edge. The other day, I Shazammed a song by Bastille.
Oh.
That's the beginning of the end for Crozzers.
Yeah.
Beginning of the end. That's on your system now, on Spotify, because it goes straight to Spotify.
It goes to Spotify, doesn't it? I've
had to make Shazam songs private, because that is way too intimate a detail for people to know.
Where were you hearing this Bastille song?
The gym.
You're in the gym.
I was in the gym.
It comes on.
Shazamming a song in the gym.
So hang on, you listen to the gym's music to work out to?
No, I was doing my stretches, so I'd taken my headphones off, I was doing my stretches, and I thought, oh, this is a rare banger.
Is there like
isn't
a
it?
DJ in your gym, or is it like a radio?
No, there's not
station?
A DJ in my gym.
There should be a DJ's gym.
What if there
right?
was a DJ in his gym? He wouldn't have to Shazam it.
I would have gone up to DJ Jim and said, "All right, Jim."
I bet there's gyms out there with DJs.
Oh, of course,
and there should be more.
There simply must be. I think that gym that's
there must be more.
there should be some,
yeah.
And there must be more. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's a fair, yeah. There shouldn't be as many as there are. And I bet there's a few.
It's a good idea, actually. It could be the new, because, you know, like the all the statistics say is that the kids nowadays are more into like exercising than they are going out and drinking.
Yeah.
That's where they get
so
their
making,
thrills.
So making the gym the new dance. I did actually see a thing the other day where they'd done like morning, you know, kind of morning gym type rave type.
I'm a gym DJ. Things.
A gym
I bet
DJ.
That's something you'll hear at dinner party. What do you do? What do you do these days? I'm a gym DJ. Oh,
is that does the gym DJ live with your record breaking guy?
Yeah, I mean it's not bad.
And that's their.
It was that kind of house.
That's their story.
It was a warehouse in East London.
So that's not a house. A warehouse isn't a house.
It's a house you have to be aware of.
Yeah. Well, so these guys live in a warehouse.
Yeah.
Oh.
You go out a whole lot if you lived in a warehouse. There'd be no staying in.
Yeah.
So. I did a run on Sunday morning, like a organised half marathon, and they had a DJ. They had a DJ at the start line. You know, they do it at, like the London Marathon as well. It's like, okay, only 30 minutes to go, and they're kind of like, we're doing the big countdown. But it was like,
I thought they was like, whoa, guys, I'm not gonna run it that fast.
Anyone doing a sub 30 half here, guys? Could you be right, guys? Please be up the front.
And the guy was like, only 10 more minutes till we start the introductions to your 5-minute countdown. Because like he constantly, he wants to make it feel like there's not that long to go. So he's constantly doing that. And the moment he went, 2 minutes, 2 minutes till I introduce the people who'll be starting the race in 5 minutes. And I go, sorry, hang on. It's just like with a notepad and pen. Just hang on,
Carry the two. What, didn't bring an abacus?
Like, oh my God. This constant countdown. It was absolutely exhausting. But, you know, not a bad job. I think like any kind of DJing, I think I could be a good DJ that's not a proper DJ. Does that make sense?
Sure, okay. you could pick good songs.
No, he's terrible at that, actually. I think you make a really bad DJ.
There we go.
Well, there we go. We solved that.
There we go. The jury's in.
So,
where's Clarkie?
Clarkie is a good DJ. He can pick some...
But worse than that, Clarkie thinks he's a good DJ.
Yeah, everyone thinks they're a good DJ. Oh, yeah. You think you're a good DJ.
No.
You think you could be a good DJ?
No. I know I'm a good DJ.
Oh!
Next up, it's Florence and the Machine. The Dark Days! Parody laws.
I'm just Shazamming that, Parody Tom. Give me a second. What do you think would make you a good DJ?
It's vibes, isn't it? If you're in the gym, DJ gym.
Yeah.
You're kind of...
Well, it's BPM. Surely it's got to be BPM, hasn't it?
Ooh, interesting, yeah.
It's got to be.
Well, that's the name of your DJ. That's your DJ name.
Yes. Barry Paul Marsden.
Barry Paul Marsden.
Barry Paul Marsden. Barry Paul Marsden. Not much of a DJ name.
Yeah.
Paul Marsden. You know what?
By gum. I'm knackered just looking at you. Here's the BGs.
That's right. Okay.
I'm going to play a little bit of Brotherhood of Man there for you. Oh, Barry Paul Marsden.
Hello,
on the
Barry.
Ones and twos.
Hello, Barry.
Oh, two turntables.
I'm here the treadmill. Can we have some with a bit of pace, please?
Absolutely. How do you feel about the Chariots of Fire thing, Jimmy?
And Steve, Matthew, thank you for coming in. That was a very good character.
I'm going to shock you now. I'm actually Crosby's manager. His agent and manager always come along to all of his auditions.
So you came along.
I came along.
with old Figleaf.
That's right. With Son's Figleaf. Yeah.
What a team you've got behind you.
Oh, it's you know, he's a great kid. He just needs a little bit of encouragement. He's not here because he's walking.
He's walking to the audition.
He set out at 6 a.m. and I'm not going to lie to you. He didn't have his music with him, so he hasn't got the BPM.
He hasn't got Bastille to help him.
He hasn't got Bastille to...
That's a real shame.
He hasn't got a Bastille song from 2016.
He should stay in. Don't go out. Stay in.
You know what? I will after that. Oh, it's me. Yes, I'm back again.
He's arrived.
I'm back again. I think a good sign of getting older is not just Shazamming Bastille songs, but thinking you'd make a good DJ.
Yeah.
I went to a UK drill night the other night.
There we go.
Yeah. I went to a, because I'm working with a performer at the moment who is very big in the UK drill and grime scene. So I went along to watch her host a show. And you know what? They've got a good thing going on that scene, because if they decide halfway through that a song's not going that well, because there's a DJ and there'll be a singer or a rapper doing all of the singing and the rapping. I think I've got all the technical terms there.
Yeah, okay.
So if at any point the rapper decides the crowd aren't feeling it, I'm not feeling it, he just signals to the DJ and the DJ just goes, poof. Ends the song, starts another one. Or ends the song, berates the crowd, starts the same song again from the start.
Yes.
It's brilliant. And you think about it, that's the problem with it with DJing, is that when you're stuck with the classic two turntables, you know, if a song's not going well, you've got to rifle around, find another thing. Yeah, you can't have the boom, which sort of, it's boom. Like it alerts the crowd that something's up.
Yeah,
it tells you, because it does. You never have that feeling then of going, well, look, they're not feeling it, I'm not feeling it, but let's pretend it's
let's
going
just get
okay.
Out of this. Boom. Boom.
Fuck this, we're moving on. I loved it. Boom. I mean, I was pissed
Fuck
out
this,
of my mind.
We're going again. Florence and the Machine. The Dark Days.
We don't have the rights.
What do you think, we could cut it on the UK drill scene?
I don't think we could, I'm afraid. No,
I definitely don't think I could, because it's the first time I've heard of the phrase the UK drill
scene. Drill scene. Well,
you were thinking about Black and Decker, am I right?
Too right. Oh, bloody toolbox over here. The
the Toolbox isn't a bad name for
Toolbox.
Toolbox. Here he comes, Toolbox.
Toolbox. Is Toolbox coming out tonight? He said he was going to stay in, but
but you know Toolbox.
You know what that means.
He's got to go out.
He's going to come out for one. He's going to stay out for seven.
Plenty more wrench in the box.
He's got a few wall plugs left in him.
I could definitely see you. I could really see you as a sort of unconventional UK grime artist. Toolbox.
Very, very unconventional.
Very unconventional.
But you'd have
one
your...
that doesn't really understand what's going on.
The song's constantly stopping. It's just all. It's like the scene out of Jurassic Park.
It's DJ Toolbox is here to shut this party down. It's 8 p.m., everyone. Go home.
8 p.m. or BPM?
8 p.m. or BPM, yeah.
Barry Paul Martin's here.
Barry Paul Martin's headlining.
Barry Paul Martin. I'm here, guys. Don't you worry about me. This is Jeff Beck with High Horse Silver Lining.
Yes, fucking please. I like BPM's playlist.
Oh, classic wedding DJ is BPM.
Classic
wedding DJ.
It's not bad.
The best kind.
He's the kind of guy who'll play Come On Eileen several times in a night. People will look around and go, have you heard this before?
You might have done, but it's a classic.
Get your knees up.
Get your knees up.
House meeting.
What would you say to Roman Keating?
House meeting.
Probably nothing at all.
Whoa. There we go. That was that.
What an ep.
What a great, strong ep it was.
Absolutely right. Well, listener dear, we hope you enjoyed that. We are going to be releasing episodes weekly.
That's the plan. We're going to try and get a new episode of something out to you weekly, whether it is a Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown,
yes,
whether it is a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts,
yes,
whether it is a house meeting.
Whoa.
Or that's pretty much it.
That's it.
Brave new world, guys. Here we go. And come with us, listener dear. And if you enjoy listening to our podcast, please, now is the time to recommend to your friends, your loved ones, even your enemies. Get them all on board.
We love enemies.
Hop aboard this train of ours.
Absolutely. We'd also like you to leave a review for us, yes, if that is possible. Tom, what's their review sort of homework this time round?
Well, give us 5 stars. Feels 5 stars.
Yeah, it felt like a 5-star show.
It felt 5 stars today. And in the review, being as we've been looking at DJs and DJ sets, why don't you try and get as many song references in as possible? So titles of songs in the review of the podcast. You know, positive songs.
Lovely. Yeah, positive. Perfect. Doesn't have to be positive songs.
Yeah. And our favourite reviews we'll be able to read out on the podcast next time round. So please, yeah, get on board.
We're also on Patreon. It's patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare.
This podcast was produced by Emma Corsham. Now, stay tuned for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call.
All right. Well, dear listener, go forth, enjoy, spread the word, look after yourselves. We'll see you next time on Pappy's Flatshare house meeting. Cheers, everyone. Bye. Bye. Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call commence.
Now, what you can't see is Tom is saluting when he says this, but here we go. These are all the people who have very kindly donated to the Patreon. And remember, if you donate $2 or above, you get your name read out on the podcast. Here we go.
Never Gonna Lose, it's Dan Hughes.
He lives in Glamorgan, it's Gareth Morgan.
He's got a lovely sheen, it's Justin Green.
I've never been a... it's Ellen Alina.
He's just learnt to sing. It's Matthew King.
We're having a ball. It's Ben Hall.
She's not someone's son. It's Lise Richardson.
Sorry, Lise. He's been to heavens. It's Dan Evans.
Yum yums. It's James Williams.
She's also not someone's son. It's Sarah Simpson.
Oh, dear. Sorry, Sarah. He couldn't be stabbier. It's Alan Tabberer.
In no way is a ball bag. It's Morag.
Has he ever owned a beagle? Dan Teagle.
And finally, he's not an ass dragon Norbit. It's Alexander Grass Dragon Corbett. I mean, what a one to end on, I think. Should we close off there? Or?
End of Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.